This is Aaron Palmer with 307 Net Radio, and I'm sitting here with Johnson County Sheriff Rod Odenbaugh and Buffalo Police Chief Sean Bassett, and we're going to talk a little bit about scamming today, because it's something that people in the community should be aware of and just be not scared of, but just be aware of what's going on. So many people know, have heard of scamming, but what exactly is scamming?
I can start with that if that's okay, Sean.
Absolutely.
So there's a lot of different forms, whether it's a phone call that you get from a person that says it's their granddaughter or their grandson and they're in jail, to children that are blackmailed for sending some sort of inappropriate picture to someone. It can be like a romance scam where the elderly get, well, it doesn't even have to be elderly. The victim gets contacted. They make it sound like they're going to be romantically involved, and you know, that ultimately ends up to where they ask money so that person can fly out and live with the victim, which never happens. So there's a lot of different scams. I don't know, there's a list of 100 of them, and we can never keep up. It's like once you think you get everybody educated on one scam, another one comes in. And that can be Social Security, that can be healthcare, it can be absolutely anything. And what Sean says is correct. Like, you never pay a bill with a Visa gift card or an Amazon gift card. So if they're asking for that,
red flag.
Yeah, it's a red flag. And if you have any questions, if you should be paying that bill, you know, we get documentation all the time, whether it's an email or it's something sent by mail from the Social Security Administration. Bring that paperwork in. We'll let you know whether that's real or not. 99.9% of the time, it's not real, and we can help you with that, identifying those scams, or if it's a scam or if it's a real bill. So again, bring that paperwork in. Call us with those concerns. You can punch in a phone number generally on the internet, and it will tell you whether it's a scam number. Mm-hmm. You know, like we all get phone calls all the time from, you know, for example, the extended insurance on your vehicle.
I got to renew that, by the way.
Yeah, you always get that. But, and it's like, I got it the other day, and it was a 217 number, local number, but it was 9980. Like, it's that high a number, it's mm-hmm. not, that's not it. So you punch that in on Google or Yahoo, and it'll show whether that number's been reported as a scam number. So, and then we got other programs too that we can look that information up, as well as law enforcement, that goes into a little more detail on where it's used, when it's used, who it's used by. Generally, that's a name that you'll never find. But yeah, so there's a bunch of scams out there. Locally, it's the what the FBI site says is sextortion, the romance one, the elderly one. And the elderly one can be romance, it can be healthcare, it can be the warrant, the back taxes, all those. So, you know, if you're chatting with a guy on the phone that's got a strong accent from somewhere else, it's probably a scam. You know, and generally those bills don't come over the phone. You know, you don't get contacted over the phone.
Well, and that's one of the things I was going to ask, is that sometimes there are scams that are, say, with bills that you have, whether it's the phone company or the whatever. And there's an easy way, if I'm not mistaken, to figure that out if it's a legit thing. Just call them mm-hmm. and ask them,
yeah.
Correct?
Yeah.
I mean, if you get, like, I don't know, U.S. West or whatever, right. A bill from them,
yes.
On the phone, just call them.
Yeah.
and ask them about it. And then they'll tell you whether or not this is legit or not.
Emails, you'll get it over the, not just phone calls, but your emails. You get, how much junk email do we get? That you know it's a scam right off the bat. You've won something. Here's a check. I think the scam I was talking to you too early about was these internet jobs. You don't need any, you know, no experience. And it's this high-paying job, and it's in payrolling, and you have to payroll checks. So you're basically getting sent a check for $5,000. They tell you to deposit it. Part of your salary is you get to keep 500 of it. Well, the minute you deposit that check, that $5,000 goes, and then 2 days later your bank says, hey, that check is no good, and you're done. So that's a big one to keep an eye out for, too. It's kind of a newer one that's coming out. So,
are we seeing this in the community here? These not that particular one, but scams one, but in general.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's an issue here,
it's
correct?
An issue. We met with the Buffalo Senior Center and fielded many questions, and pretty much everybody in that room had a story about a scam or a phone call that they knew wasn't right. So the good thing is it's not just the elderly, but you know, they target that demographic and then the younger generation. So the good thing is they're aware of what's going on. So as long as we keep letting them know what the updated scams are, and if they ever think that something's not right, just call us.
Okay. What have you guys seen here as far as scams?
Well, I think the most current one was the sextortion one with the young gentleman.
Explain that, sextortion. Some people may not know what that's about, so tell us what that is.
So they meet online, and whether it's on Snapchat or Instagram or some other social media site, They talk the victim into sending an inappropriate photo, and then once that happens, everything changes. They're now not a boyfriend or a girlfriend. They are a person that's blackmailing for that picture that's sent. So in this particular case, the suspect wanted $500, and if that $500 wasn't sent, then he says they're going to send that picture to all of his contacts or her contacts and just blow up social media with it. And that's their threat, that if they don't send that money, then they are going to, like I said, they're going to blow up social media. Friends, family, everybody's going to have that picture is how they portray it.
Okay, so that being said, I mean, if whoever this is, it doesn't necessarily have to be a kid. This could be a grown adult.
Mm-hmm.
But if this situation happens, people immediately panic, and then they're wanting to make this go away. So they're wanting to send whatever this person is asking to make it go away. But what is the reality here? What happens? It doesn't go away, does it? It's extortion, so it's not going to go away. It's just going to continue, correct?
Once they get paid, they know that they can get paid, and they know that they have you. And you need to say something, and that's what we preach to a lot of these kids now that are coming up through with these smartphones. And, you know, there you have the Snapchats and Facebook and Instagram, and they think that they take these pictures and they disappear. And in reality, those pictures never disappear.
No, once there's a digital copy of that picture, it never goes away.
So what are the chances that that thing gets released?
It's
good?
It's very,
a hazard?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So they follow through on this? It's not just
a
threat?
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah,
because
what
they do is they're smart. Once they, and it's a grooming thing. It's not something that happens overnight. They have these, and I don't want to say kids, they just have these folks thinking that, oh, I've met this new relationship online, and they take their time. They're not asking for it right away. They're grooming them. They're making them think that they're close. And then once they find that way in, now they're friending their friends. And so, of course, well, hey, he knows Sean. I'm gonna accept his friendship. So now you can't stop that. He has everybody. He's involved in that inner circle. And so very easily, you just one punch of a button, there's your... You know, there's your images, and whether, can you imagine coming into work and seeing coworkers or school or anybody that now, how do you explain that? And a lot of people will pay that money to not go through that embarrassment.
So how do we approach this then as a community, as law enforcement? If this thing happens to this person, the victim, what did they do? I mean, their choices are to pay the money or have their stuff sent out there. So what exactly do they do? What can they do to in this situation?
Well, I think the first step is education.
Okay.
So we try to prevent it, be a little bit more proactive and reactive in nature, and explain to what we're doing now. We're putting it out there, letting people know this can happen. Be very, very mindful of what you're doing and who you're sending it to. So if we can prevent that from even happening, and educating these kids that are have these phones and this technology and the ramifications that it can, what could happen, I think that's number one. It's huge. We talked to some kids in schools, and so that's number one is being reactive, and as far as the, I'm sorry, being proactive.
Proactive.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, like in reality, as far as prosecution on something like this, I won't say it's never happens, but it's rare because they send it through, like I said, 4 or 5 IP addresses, and it winds up in some, you know, like Afghanistan or Bangladesh, or I can't think of all the different.
It's international.
Yeah, international. Like,
so this isn't somebody sitting in Casper doing this. No. Generally, it's generally. Somebody.
Right, and it can be, and we have our connections in DCI. What they do is they gather these reports from all these different agencies, and they then work closely with the FBI, and they've made cases where I think that might be touched on during our Right Roads program, and some cases where people were prosecuted and how they did it. But that's a huge, like, I mean, that's a lot of information coming into one, and you're hoping that you can make that link to a couple of different phone numbers or IP addresses. But it's a lot of legwork.
And the reality is it's difficult.
It's very difficult.
Okay. How does someone fall for this? And I don't want to make it sound like the victim brought this on themselves, because we know that these scammers are targeting, and they're very good at this. Mm-hmm. So what makes an individual go, okay, you know, this is something that's a good idea. I'm going to take a picture of myself, you know, in a compromising scenario,
right,
and send this to someone that I don't know.
It's just what Sean said. They're professional groomers, mm-hmm, and they tell you what you want to hear. They find the person that's looking for some sort of romance or companionship. They can find those people, and then once they start with the grooming, and like Sean said, that grooming thing, you know, that's not a fast process. They get to know them. They know what they want. They know what they need. They know what kind of money that they have, and then they turn on them. And when they turn on them, it's ugly at best. Then the threats come in. You know, we know where you live. We're going to burn your house down.
Oh, just, they'll go to that extent.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow. They will. You know, they. Yeah. There's 99% of the time too. They don't know where you live, and nor will they come here to do that. But they put that thought in the victim's mind, and then they get worried about it, and rightfully so.
So it's not just the embarrassment, but hey, you know, now I've endangered my family or whatever. So they're playing on those fears.
And they usually get in good, and they know what your insecurities are, and they know what your weaknesses are. And I mean, we talk about mental health and, you know, suicide prevention. I mean, as a youth, knowing that your picture could go out there and the embarrassment, I mean, that which concerns me is that damage is done. Mm-hmm. You know, that can start someone down a pretty dark road.
Do these images then turn around? I mean, do they... You know, I don't even know if I'm going to bring this up, but pornography? I mean, do they get sold?
Sell them.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't know how to bring that up, but I mean, no, is that also an a possibility?
Yeah, that Snapchat, you know, that goes away, or those they don't go away. you know, you send somebody a picture on your cell phone, that they'd save that. That's a digital image that will not go away, that they can then turn around and sell on the black market to child pornography or to God only knows what.
Yeah, when we get those images like that, they go to ICAC. They mm-hmm. do like a facial recognition. They put it out there. So if that picture pops up, that ICAC will know that it's been used in Buffalo, Wyoming, mm-hmm. or New York. They can figure that all out. So those images all go to ICAC, and then that's put on. Somebody searches that. They punch that picture. It causes a red flag at ICAC, and they just go on mm-hmm. full-on investigation mode and figure that.
And we have the technology now here.
Yeah, we do now.
In station with that grant that we had talked about with the Operation Underground Railroad. So part of that technology that we have for our digital forensics that is incorporated in that.
Yeah, those, like if we get those images, mm-hmm. that's our second step is sending them to ICAC. Mm-hmm. So they can, they have a lot more resources nationwide to do that. So when we get that information is forwarded to those guys.
Wow. It just goes scary. on. Who are the most vulnerable people for these type of scams?
I don't even know if there is a...
Is it just, it's across the board?
They targeted the elderly, and now I think, I mean, you know, you get, how many times a day do you look at your phone? It's a spammer. And I just think it spans from 12-year-old with a cell phone to the 85-year-old that's getting a phone call at their house, and anyone and everyone in between.
Yeah. Yeah, from, like you say, a teenager with a cell phone to a 85-year-old with a landline.
Yep.
Like it doesn't, there's no exceptions.
Everything.
Yeah.
So we're all vulnerable mm-hmm. to this. It's just a matter of being
diligent,
educated, and aware.
Yep.
Yeah, aware and suspicious.
Do you have that FBI website?
Oh, yeah. You probably got that. Mm-hmm. The FBI.gov/scams. If you'll go to that website, that explains or describes a lot of the different scams that are going on right now. So, the elderly probably don't have the internet, but the majority of people do. And if they look on that, you know, they can see what scams are going on now. But if it's generally, like, with the exception of the sextortion, if it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. So be suspicious of you winning $1 million and have to send $5,000 to get it.
Right.
And that's what they do. It's the five, it's right. the $10,000 thing. And which is a lot, it's a lot of money to me. I mean, it's a lot of money to everybody. And if you get scammed out of that, yeah, that's going to hurt. So
going to the FBI website, like you said, is one way that people can protect themselves, at least by being aware of what's going on. What else can they do? What do you recommend people do to make themselves less vulnerable for these types of things?
Well, I know for myself, if I'm, you know, you have to be very mindful about your phone. If I go into a hotel and it's a free Wi-Fi, you know, be careful with your passwords. And, you know, people can spock into your information very fast. I think with the iWallet and whatnot, you can put your credit cards on your phone now. So I would say just be very mindful of protecting your, you know, your digital, your data. Same thing with emails. Don't respond to emails or forward emails that have a strange URL or whatever it may be. So I would say you just have to be very conscious about that. Checking your, you know, credit report, keeping an eye on your purchases and credit for those kind of scams where people are taking your personal information. So I think that's a way. Just educate yourself.
Yeah, and if you feel like you've been scammed, and you know, go shut down all your accounts, mm-hmm. whether it be your checking, savings. I know it's an inconvenience, but credit cards, put a stop to them. Get a new number. Generally, those credit card companies, like I have a Cabela's card, mm-hmm. and if I go out of state right. and use it, they call it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pain in the butt, but it saved us a couple times. And, you know, so you change your credit card number because you've gotten scammed, and I've had to do this recently, then like all my accounts I forget to change it, and then they go to try to do your monthly bill, and then you get this nasty gram saying, hey, you've not paid your bill. Well, no, we didn't, because we canceled that card and got another one. So you forget about those things, but there's a lot of legwork that has to happen when you start canceling all your accounts and your credit cards and debit cards and all that. But it's for sure the safest thing to do.
And you have LifeLock and all the different cybersecurity companies throughout there. I'm not saying LifeLock is it, but that's a way.
One of them.
That's one way to help prevent. But just being smart, you know, being very smart about what you're doing with the credit cards, how accessible are they, and not giving it. Never, ever, 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 ever give your Social Security number over the telephone. A bank account. Nobody will ever, that's legit, will ask you for that information over the phone.
Yeah. What do they always say? Give me the last four of your Social Security number. They never ask you for all of it. Mm-hmm. They just ask you for the last four. If it's not, if it's a real deal. But if it's not, account numbers, Social Security numbers, date of birth, that doesn't need to come out.
Yes, sir. Okay. Very good. Johnson County Sheriff Rod Odenbaugh, Buffalo Police Chief Sean Bissett, thank you so much. We talked about scamming, and hopefully we gave some information to the public. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron. Appreciate it.